This message will self-destruct.
It's time to begin the football weekend.
And as they say in Tinseltown, roll up.
This is a Football Friday edition of Dirt and Spray.
They had pride. They had talent. They had hats and t-shirts.
Brought to you by the Odyssey app. Download the Odyssey app, follow 1080 The Fan, and enable push notifications to get the latest on the Ducks, Beavers, Blazers, and more.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right, 6:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan.
Red right, 24-3.
24
Reno. 58.
Blue Poncho.
58.
Daddy Dirt.
Spit on that thing.
Is that a little ad there right there? I like that. Hey, what is happening?
Tell you right now, Rod Hill should be suspended for a day.
We're firing Rod Hill.
Look.
What did he get wrong? The rain this morning? Because I didn't see that coming.
I watched the weather at 4:31, and he was like bragging about how great Friday was going to be. It's going to be a beautiful Friday for all you people out there.
It's supposed to be perfect today.
I walked outside.
What is this?
And what does John Mulaney say? You know, like a liar. Was dumping outside.
Yeah, I walked outside. This is one of the few times. I'm usually pretty consistent in checking the weather app because I like to know what I'm getting myself into when I'm leaving the house or got the, hey, do I have yard work to do? I just want to make sure I know what the weather is. And so I'm pretty up to date on it. And I walked out of the door this morning without looking outside before I left. And I'm in a t-shirt and shorts. And by the time I'm outside, it's already too late. I'm not going back inside to grab a jacket. This is just what I got
today.
Do
a little Fred Flintstone twinkle toes to the truck.
I did. I speedily walked into the truck as quickly as I could. What the hell, Rod Hill?
I think this caught him off guard because I'm looking at his weather report right now as we talk. And suddenly he's like, well, there's a little Doppler action actually going on.
These band of showers are hitting us this morning.
If there's an aspect of sports I'd like to take to the news, it would be the post-game interview
with the weather guy.
Sure.
So what went wrong there, Rod? How did we not see this coming?
Who do we blame, Rod?
The model. If we blame him, the models? Is this a technology issue? Right.
It looked like at the 4:45 a.m. mark, you guys felt confident about that report. And then around 4:50... Yeah. What changed?
You decided to throw the ball on third and short, and it stopped the clock. The clock didn't run out. Instead of just running it and burning an extra minute and 20 off, you stopped the clock. You gave the other team a chance, Rod. You let them right back in the
now,
game.
I will say, in my spot out on the west side, it had already passed. So there was water on...
It was soaking on the Fremont Bridge when I drove.
Yeah,
but
it was pouring the whole drive.
It was no longer raining when I left, so it was a passing sell.
I would say, like, I've been watching the local news every day for about a month. Every morning I wake up, now I have a routine. I turn the local news on, and I have noticed, like many of people, the sports person is the one person missing from the morning news.
Yeah, they don't have a sports person on the morning news.
They've never had a sports person on the morning news.
Why is that?
Absolutely no disrespect here. But actually, that's not true. I grew up as a kid, used to have... Channel 8. I'm blanking on his name. He's retired, unretired. Snip, snap.
Joe Becker.
Oh, Joe Becker.
He used to do hits once in a while.
Well, sometimes they'd have taped stuff from the night before. Like they would, like they'd take the Blazer recap from the 11 o'clock
and air it again the next day.
And they'd redo it with their voiceover.
Okay. But my point is, we have a traffic guy.
Yeah,
I have Waze. You could just literally show Waze
on
your
screen. It's just right there.
And I'm not saying eliminate that job. Keep that guy.
Yeah, pro job.
But where's your sports guy?
This is a valid point.
I don't know.
I think they need a live shot into our show. We have cameras right here.
Which guy's more valuable to you?
Blazer fame.
Which guy's more valuable to you? The sports guy or the traffic guy?
Yeah, the sports guy. It's not even close. Not even close.
I think we're a little biased.
I think we should pay those guys more money.
I think that's a good poll question.
I think we should give them more opportunities, put them on TV. What are we doing here?
I think you're just missing out on something. It's a personality. Like, I just don't feel like I see them anymore.
Yeah.
But I get these weather people that are lying to me every day, and then I get a traffic alert, and I'm like, well, I'm not watching or listening to you in the car.
We need your weather stats up every day.
Your percentages
Your percentages.
Yes.
your temperature forecast, you know, are you 3 degrees off per day? Are you, you know, what's been.
Yeah, why don't we get that at the end of the year? I feel like even college football magazines will do that.
A summation of the weather guy
like,
stats.
I made my predictions for the year. Like Brett Ciancia, Pick Six previews
exactly.
We had on the show before
it's
started.
Right there.
He brags about how he
what's
has
your
been
record
the most
the spread?
Accurate picker of preseason prognostications for however many years in a row, because I picked this amount of teams to make the playoff and bowl games and conference championships. Championships
well,
and all that.
Is,
like, check your math. Let's see how you did.
I saw one of the promos, I think it's Coin. The head weather person comes on and talks about, yeah, we take pride in being the most accurate. I'm like, where are those stats?
Based on what?
It's just something to say.
No, it gave an actual percentage or something. And
94%
like,
of the time.
Where are those? Why aren't those more publicly available?
I want a day-by-day recap. I think they should have to come back on Monday like we do after all of our losing records and springing the line, say on Sprague last weekend, and we have to make fun of each other for how stupid. Like,
two.
Boy, oh boy, did we screw that up? Those were a lot of bad picks.
It would be funny if you had like a Rod Hill sports card where he's smiling with his jacket and on the back
there
you
go.
Over and it's his stats
Let's
year
go,
by year.
What was his batting average
What's
last
Franz
year?
Is getting
doing?
Worse or
he
is it getting
472,
better?
472. That's it, Rod. That's all you had last year. 47 sub 50%. All right,
that would be good.
I'm not going to believe your weather reports anymore, man. You're not giving me a lot of confidence.
I also wanted to ask you, Dirt. We were texting a little bit about that god awful Thursday night football.
It is exactly
game.
How we thought it would go.
I want to ask you, Dirt. Do you feel like the injuries are happening far more often in games than you remember as a child or a teenager watching football?
Yes, I do. More so than when I was a kid. Now, more so in the last couple of years, that I don't know. But I thought there was the perfect still. I watched that entire game last night because I have issues. And
sure.
I gambled on the Cowboys, so
Same
that was a lot of fun. Thanks for missing that last field goal.
That was Aubrey's first missed field goal from 50 or longer in his career.
I'm like, oh my God, I'm actually going to win a bet. They didn't get another first down. He's actually going to kick the field goal with 40 seconds left. He's doing this. Yes, I'm going to win a ticket.
Nope.
And he missed the damn kick. With like 2 minutes or however many minutes there were left in the game. Maybe it was on the Giants last drive, but they had that split screen image basically of Malik Nabers who went head first into the turf and clearly was concussed. And then on the other side of the field, you had Micah Parsons with his shoe off getting wheeled off the field. And I'm like, okay. If I'm a football fan, the two guys that draw me in most in this game are easily maybe the best defensive lineman in the sport, and Micah Parsons, and Malik Nabers, who has been outstanding.
A
and
beast.
Maybe the only player that people can name outside of Daniel Jones on the Giants. Like, hey, who plays for the Giants? Who's that guy? Oh, that's right. Malik Nabers does. The two biggest guys in that game last night left it simultaneously. And I don't think there's ever been a better encapsulation of what Thursday night football is. Look at this. Stars getting hurt because we make them play on a short week on bad turf.
I thought it was funny. Somebody had summed up the Michaels Herb Street broadcast where it was Michaels complaining about something and then Herb Street just responding, you know, this guy played really good at Florida Atlantic.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, that actually sums up the broadcast.
Yeah, here we are. Al Michaels complaining the entire night about flags and Kirk Herb Street just wanting to talk college football.
Basically incorporating college football.
Hey, Ohio State looks pretty good this year, huh? What are we talking about? What sport are we
now in? You may remember he played two deep safety when he was at so-and-so university. Like, why does that matter?
And I don't think Al Michaels is going to remember that. I don't think he's going to know that off the top of his head.
I'm with you, and I'm to the point. Maybe it's because of my age. I'm going to be 38 in December.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm watching these guys comfortably on a couch, not taking these hits. And almost every single play when I'm watching, I'm just like, everybody get up. Everybody get up.
Come on.
Ferguson for the Cowboys are tight end. He took a massive hit, and he was down for a second, and the camera cuts away, and I'm like, are they going to go back to him being down? And he got up, but you see him wincing as he runs to the side.
Just in a lot of pain.
He was back two plays later, and I'm just like, okay, Diggs went down. He had a calf injury. I'm watching for the Keeley pop.
Yes.
It didn't. He's out. He's back later. I'm just like, these poor guys. They're not paid enough. I know they're guaranteed a lot of money. They're not paid enough for what they have to do.
The vast majority of the guys are paid way too little for what they should be for going through that Thursday night game. It just is hilarious to me every time I hear the NFL. Like, we go through this right now with the rule change on the kickoff, which I am still adamantly against. It's stupid. It takes the fun out of the play. I couldn't be more anti the new kickoff rule. But the whole idea of you're doing that for players, we got to worry about player safety, man. Too many high speed collisions on the kickoff. That's why we need to fundamentally change the way the game starts and take away onside kicks. We can't do this. It's way too dangerous, but we can make you play 3 days later on crappy turf where you're likely going to tear an Achilles or get a concussion. So player safety, very, very important for the league.
I'm just always surprised when, like, any of the best players are available. Yes. I'm just like, okay, cool, great, he's playing. I'm glad to hear that.
I just want the stars to get through it. And last night, Parsons, thankfully the MRI was negative, but I don't know how long he's going to be out or if he's going to miss a couple of weeks.
Neighbors has a concussion.
And Neighbors has a concussion. That was as clear as day that dude had a concussion. He went head first in the turf with no brace of his arms because he was trying to catch that pass. That was brutal, man.
It's the thing about it's a gambling football Friday, as it always is on this station and the show, this yes. show specifically. But it's always a part of it that I never used to do enough research on, and now I'm like scrambling every day. Yeah. A game I like, I go to the team practice report, injury report. Yeah. Okay, limited. Tracking to play. Okay, all I think right. I'm going to go with all this right. pick.
Okay, I think you'll be okay.
This guy did not practice, not looking good. Damn it. Okay.
Son of a bitch. What are we doing here?
Fade this pick. It's kind of how you have to operate in fantasy yeah. and gambling now. And I think even as a fan, even if you don't do those two things, you're like, hey, did my guy play? Did he practice? Right. No? Okay, great. I can't wait for my team to lose.
I feel like we should turn Thursday Night Football in the NFL into what? Like, we were just doing this segment yesterday for the Big Ten. Nebraska's AD doesn't want to play on Fridays anymore. And the only teams in the Big Ten that didn't get scheduled a Friday game on the regular season were Ohio State, Michigan, and Penn State. That was it. Everybody else had to play a Friday game. I feel like we should turn Thursday Night Football in the NFL into that. Like, I don't want any good. Like, next week is not a bad. It's Tampa and Atlanta.
That's a good game.
That's a decent little game.
That could be I don't want that on many levels.
Yeah. Don't go near a third. Why is that game on a third? There's too much implications.
Because
that's a divisional game.
It's a good
game.
Matchup. They want to make it a good matchup.
And this is where I think
sucks.
We should punish the bad teams with this. I don't care if your players get hurt. If your Tennessee Titans could have anybody go down that they want, no disrespect, but it doesn't matter to me. That team's irrelevant. Make them play on Thursdays.
I love that you just dismiss Jeffrey Simmons and DeAndre Hopkins.
Doesn't matter.
As if they're just not.
Doesn't
great
matter.
Football.
Dolphins, Patriots, throw them on Thursday night whenever the hell you want.
So you want our Thursday
I don't care.
To be the worst game.
I want the worst games of the week. Throw them on a Thursday because we'll probably still go to watch. We'll gamble, yada, yada, yada. But I want the good divisional games in the night. Like, imagine this weekend Sunday Night Football is Buffalo and Baltimore. That is an awesome Sunday Night Football game.
It's the best game of the weekend.
Imagine that game being on a Thursday.
Yeah.
It would have completely ruined it. Who's playing? Who's not? Who's going to get hurt?
We had that with Miami and Buffalo, two weeks ago?
2 weeks ago.
And unfortunately, it was a blowout, and then Tua ended up suffering another concussion. Yeah. So,
but the Raiders, the Broncos, they can all play on Thursday nights. That's fine with me.
I think short week football overall, it lends itself to stupidness. Because everybody hurts. Nobody is fully recovered from the previous week.
Yes, very true.
It's just such a weird game.
Yes.
That's why I don't really gamble it. I gambled the Miami one a couple weeks ago, but you gambled yesterday, and I liked your pick. But
yeah, I did too.
I was like, I'm staying away. I don't get it. None of this makes sense. All of these guys are hurt.
I can't catch a break, man. Anybody wants to send me any winners for this weekend, text them in the Vancouver Ford text line.
Well, Chuck, our accountant, is just popping off at the mouth because he's in the top, 5% of ESPN's pick pools.
He's not gambling any money, though, on
He's not actually gambling, and but this he's is, popping off of his record. I'm like, yo.
This is my take on spreading the line, though. It's that, he has no skin in the game.
Exactly.
He's not actually winning any money, and so it's easy to make bets when you're not actually placing any money on them. I'm just taking shots. Let's see what we get here. It doesn't matter at the end of the day.
Yeah. Well, all right. Well, let's get it going.
Let's do it.
Fresh off your gambling loss, welcome into a Spraying Line Friday.
Make a field goal. What are we doing?
Poll question is up. Who's more valuable to local morning newscast to you, the traffic guy or the sports guy? It's Ooh. Traffic guy in a landslide so far.
Come on.
Somebody said, not even close. I said, does Waze not work for you?
Not even close. Yeah, pull it up on my phone. I got it right there.
I don't know what happened locally in sports.
No, I don't.
It's not on ESPN's app.
It could have been something cool yesterday.
So let's get it going. We have a Football Friday here. We're actually going to start with depressing baseball conversation. Huh?
I watched yesterday.
All right, I didn't, but I followed. Mm. So let's start. We got two baseball stories I want to get to. Dirt and Spray, good to be with you on this Football Friday on The Fan. We will get to the biggest football game of the college football weekend. I know there's a lot of local interest and intrigue, a game tonight that some locally will be really into, but I think if we're in the trust tree, we can acknowledge the biggest game of the weekend, and it's not particularly close. So we'll talk about that coming up. I want to start with depressing baseball stuff.
Yeah, it was a sad day yesterday. I actually got, not, I didn't cry, but it was kind of emotional watching that. I turned it on at the start of the game and watched maybe the first two innings, and I'm like, okay, I don't need to watch nine innings of this. So I watched the beginning of the game and then turned in perfectly at like the top of the eighth inning and watched the last two innings.
Yeah.
And they were doing all these screenshots of people crying in the crowd and the emotions. It was really emotional.
Well, I want to start.
Baseball stuff!
Not dirt with the A's. We'll get to the A's in a second. I want to start with this. The Mariners were officially eliminated.
Yes.
They did not make the playoffs.
Did not.
They fell
didn't
short.
Didn't even play yesterday because the Tigers and Royals won. And
right.
And Adam Frazier, go-ahead RBI single, eliminated the Seattle Mariners.
And Seattle Sports Radio opened this up to fans. Fans, how do you feel? Here are two back-to-back callers from KJR Seattle yesterday.
Honestly, I stopped watching the games about 3 weeks ago, kind of when the NFL season started, because, I mean, it was clear this team was not going anywhere. They were not going to make it. I don't care what the division standings showed. So I'm not even really mad today. You know, I'm in apathy mode. Like, I just don't really care. You know, I might feel differently once we get through the winter and spring rolls around, but time to take a stand, I think, as fans.
We've got no World Series appearances. We've got like five playoff appearances. We haven't been in a couple of years. We're wasting our pitching serum. We've got crappy owners. Our pets' heads are falling off. I'm sick of these bums.
So they're taking it well in Seattle.
Yeah, as I think back to a segment we did in like May or April where I said, you know, you should just, it's so much easier said than done. So I grant Mariner fan that. But if you keep going and keep spending money and keep filling up the ballpark on a lot of nights, nothing is going, the owner makes money, man. He doesn't care about winning. Nothing will ever change until owners feel it in their pocketbook. And again, easier for me to say because I'm not a Mariner fan, and I'm not going to games, and I don't live in Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
But until you find a way to hit that apathy note that that first caller had, that's the only thing that will ever change this. Stop caring.
They were there for years, and then they had the 1 year where they made it, and people started showing up again.
They
proved that they didn't care. Well, now they're just milking it.
You had back-to-back years where they've done next to nothing. I don't want to say Teoscar Hernandez was nothing 2 years ago. That failed miserably, largely because he didn't have a lot of help in the lineup. But this last offseason, the fact that you missed you end that drought.
Yeah.
You make the playoffs. The next year, you made a couple of moves. You're like, okay, you fall just short last year. And your reaction last offseason was to do nothing to address your offensive woes.
Yep.
Nothing.
Yep.
The idea that this team was going to be any different is ridiculous and was always a funny argument. And why it hurts so much is that you have one of the best staffs in baseball. You have one of the best pitching staffs in all of Major League Baseball. And if you just had this is like Iowa football. If you could just have an offense that ranks in the top 35 nationally, yeah. I don't need you to be 2009 Oregon Ducks. I need you to be top 35. Well, nationally, and you'll win a lot of games.
They won the first game of the Astros series, and I think they scored. I think they won 5-4. And I thought I heard in the closing or a stat when they scored five runs or more this season.
Record's crazy.
55-5.
Yeah,
55-5.
Because they have the pitching is insane. It's one of the best
that
staffs
is an
in all of baseball.
Insane number.
Which speaks to the ineptitude of the offense.
Yes.
Really, so. Mariner fan, sorry, bon voyage, no playoffs yet again.
But you still have a team in your city and a nice ballpark.
And that is a great transition, Swag. Here was the final out heard on NBC Sports California. The final out, the A's ended up winning their last game.
So 3-2.
Good on them. The players, I thought, had the right approach and attitude of all of this, and I think they took it really personal to try to send them out, the fan base, with a win. Here's the final call.
Jankowski to Schumann.
W on a day that everybody in the Bay needed one.
You mentioned you watched this game.
I did.
There were children. I kept seeing constantly on my timeline children crying.
Yeah.
Grown-ups crying. People were waiting up to an hour to fill water bottles and little jars with dirt from the grounds crew. The lead grounds crew chief was caught crying, getting the field ready for play.
Yeah.
The employees will receive zero severance.
Of course they will.
They will instantly be losing their insurance, according to a report out of the Bay Area.
Yeah, well done, John Fisher.
And if my baseball team does not make it, I think I have found the team I'm pulling for.
Mm.
And it's random, and it has nothing to do with their actual team this season. I think I will become, for the playoffs, a San Diego Padre fan.
Okay.
So if you're asking why...
They lost their football team?
Well, no, that sucked. they should have a football team.
They
no,
should.
So Passan had a report yesterday that the Padres owner, who just passed not long ago, actually had up to 8 owners on his side that would have vetoed allowing them to move. And then he died, unfortunately, and Rob Manfred stepped in and basically blew that group up and said, no, this is going to happen. And Manfred yesterday was just a corporate owner shill, which is no shocking development. It's his job. But just an awful thing. I told you I've been numb to this, and I am, but like also you just see it, the images.
That's when it hits you.
You feel awful for that city. That those fans care, but they've had no reason to care. And so that fat cat is gonna go to a minor league ballpark. It's an embarrassment for baseball, and then he's gonna try to weasel his way into Vegas. Nobody's gonna care in Vegas because he's a cheapskate. And they're going to be, outflanked by the other opposing fans.
Well, he'll get exposed in Vegas pretty quick.
Well, it's going to be more opposite fans than A's fans if this is what they're going
to be. But I think in the business community, you have plenty of billionaires down there, and they know how to move money around and how investment works and how quickly stuff goes. And if they find out he's trying to milk the system, he'll get exposed quickly.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to fail miserably because he's one of the worst owners in sports. I was genuinely sad watching this yesterday. It's one thing to like talk about it being a story, you know it's coming, and their final game, and not that many people probably cared. It's different, I think, when you turn the game on and you see the reaction from fans. There was one guy who had a great interview who basically was crying to a local news channel where he talked about, I didn't have a great relationship with my dad. He didn't know what to do with me. And so when I was a kid, he just would bring me to A's games. And it was like the only thing we could ever bond over.
I hate those ones. Those ones will make me cry.
Every time I'm like bawling watching this. And he's like, then I have a younger brother who's 13 years younger than me, man. We didn't have anything to relate to. That's a massive age gap. I didn't know what to do with him. He's 13 years younger. So what did he do? He took him to A's games, and they bonded over that. And then when he went to college, his younger brother would go to opening day and call him during the national anthem in the seventh inning stretch. And then he had kids, and he's like, man, what am I going to do with my kids? I'm taking them to A's games. And how it's like a community, and you build relationships with people that you care about. And it was a great interview to remind everybody of the deeper meaning of sports teams, more so than just wins and losses, but just what it means for bonding and relationships and something to do with friends and family. And seeing the still images of people crying and realizing all of this very easily could have been avoided. He's worth billions of dollars. They could have found a way to cover the cost of a stadium. He just didn't want to because he's cheap. The irony in all of this, too, and I don't know if you guys knew this. I was reading up on some of it yesterday. I know he's a Nepo baby. He inherited all of his money. Which
he's a
just,
Gap baby, right?
His parents founded Gap, his mom and dad did. But did you know that in 1992, so I was too young for this, I didn't remember it, I was 3 years old, the Giants nearly left San Francisco. They were going to go to Miami. It was before the Marlins started. And they couldn't get a stadium done, and they were going to leave San Francisco. Yeah. And there's a famous picture of Brandon Crawford, who ended up winning titles there, who was in the front row of the stands, like, don't take our Giants to Miami, right? Part of the reason they stayed in San Francisco was because his dad, John Fisher's dad, who is a billionaire who started Gap, and John Fisher, who inherited all that money from his dad, they were like, this is ridiculous. We should do something about this. And they bought a stake in the Giants to keep them in San Francisco.
How ironic.
And they held an ownership stake in that team until 2005 when he bought the A's, and he had to divest it because he was the owner of another team. His dad was part of the reason the Giants didn't leave San Francisco. And now 20 years later, he's the reason that the A's are leaving Oakland. And it just, where did you lose your morals? Where did you lose your compass? I'm sure there's a fascinating story behind how big of a scumbag this guy actually is behind scenes, but it was truly sad yesterday that those fans have to go through
You could
that.
Probably do a study on people who work their ass off to become the Gap owner versus the people who are born into the lifestyle.
Yeah.
And I bet you see a difference. Now, some people grow out and they work hard and they... what was the tennis player who made the finals this year? The U.S. Open.
Pagula.
Jessica Pagula?
Pagula, yeah.
Like, she's the child of a billionaire. Yeah. And, like, she got to the U.S. Open. You don't get there unless you work your ass off. So some kids continue the work ethic. But there are others that are like, I've been given everything.
Yeah, I'm going to do this my own way.
We see it all over America.
Yes, yes, we do.
But the final thing I'd say, Rob Manfred, who I've called the Michael Scott of sports. He has somehow stupidly walked into so many good things for the sport.
While being incompetent.
While being clearly incompetent and not having any idea of any of this works. He had the dumbest quote yesterday. He's basically asked how he felt about the A's being ripped out of Oakland and stripping baseball away. And he said, baseball's not stripped away. There's still a Bay Area team over there.
Oh, God.
Basically, go root for the Giants. Yeah, that's, shut up.
That'll work. Just like the Sonics fans started rooting for the Blazers, right? Is that how that worked? You know, they all became Blazer fans, right?
I still think that's why Kevin Calabro starts every broadcast, good morning or good evening from Portland, Oregon, USA, because he thinks he's talking to Sonics fans.
That's right. They're all tuning in the Northwest. They all became Blazer fans because that's how that works. A deep-seated rivalry just fades away immediately, and you start rooting for the other team.
Biggest football game of the weekend, and absolute insanity is around it. Next on The Fan. Conference football news never stops, as you can tell from the entire week. And Dan Lanning in a good mood, headed to Pasadena.
Coming off of a bye and a good performance. It was a very happy Dan Lanning.
Lanning sharing what everybody feels when their team's on a bye. My team's not going to lose this weekend. I'm in a great mood.
Yeah, he'd sat around, watched football last weekend, just hanging out, enjoying the weekend off.
Flipped a five-star offensive lineman.
Yeah,
I
got a five-star offensive lineman yesterday.
Yeah, see, I saw a thing that said four, and then I saw another thing that
said
four.
And
so
five.
I hate this system. Get stupid. On the same system.
Two of the sites, he's a four-star. Two of the sites, he's a five-star.
You want a hot take? The sites should have a universal system, because I'm not going to 24/7 because they're a five, yeah. Yeah. Versus On Three, who has a four. Yeah. That's not how I dictate my content consuming.
He's a rival. He's a five on Rivals. Go read Rivals, I guess.
There you go. Biggest game though in college football is without a doubt Georgia is heading to Tuscaloosa.
The game of the century.
Can you name the quarterback the last time Alabama was an underdog at home?
Oh, God.
Not the Alabama quarterback, the opposing quarterback.
The opposing quarterback.
The last time Alabama was an underdog.
It was 2007, I believe, the last time they were a home dog.
Let's see.
If I'm not mistaken.
How far are we going back? Tim Tebow?
Nope.
No.
That would be in the general area.
In that window.
I'll give you one guess because I don't think you guys will guess.
Yeah, 2007 was a long time ago.
Yeah.
Who's another SEC? Who's it? Matt Stafford. No, ooh, he was gone by then.
You were super, really close.
David Green.
It was LSU. Matt Flynn.
Matt Flynn.
The fighting Matt Flynn's. That was the last
Seahawk
time.
Seahawk legend Matt Flynn.
Yes. Yeah. That was the last time Alabama was a home underdog.
It was 2007, right?
2007.
2007 at home. That was a long time ago, buddy.
112 home games have passed since they were an underdog at home.
Well, maybe if they would have played Georgia at home once over the last couple of years, they could have been an underdog, but I'm just glad we get this game in the regular season.
Well, here is what Kalen DeBoer, he talked to Marty Smith of ESPN. He was asked what this game means for Alabama hosting Georgia at home.
So for us, it's getting off to a good start. And, you know, we have a lot of things that are important to us, protecting our own home, protecting Bryant Denny Stadium. But, you know, this is a game that in a lot of ways will, you know, set the direction for, you know, what's to come for our season. You know, getting that momentum going, getting a win under our belt would be huge.
I don't think anybody would disagree with this. We know that these games, one of these teams can lose and still make the playoff. We understand that with the expanded playoff.
Yeah.
It still, for me, doesn't take away from like, oh, big game. Like, Bills-Ravens is a massive game. I know that one of them could lose and still make the playoff. I'm still like, really into it.
Watching good football is fun.
Yes.
It doesn't have to be the end of a season.
Yeah, this is just all about the game itself, and you hope it lives up to it. It's a classic.
Exactly. And it sounds like, according to Pate, and I have to check the weather now because the hurricane hit yesterday, and our thoughts are with everybody over there.
Yeah.
But it sounds like they largely will miss some of the hurricane stuff. So this game shouldn't be weird in that way.
A little bit of wind, I think, is going to hit them, but no crazy rain and none of that kind of stuff.
I don't think you can argue. This is the biggest like, this is the biggest game of the weekend for DeBoer. Of all the things and people attached to it, it's for Kalen DeBoer, which is crazy, Dirt, because I looked it up yesterday. And you probably already knew this. I think a lot of people have an idea of this. Kalen DeBoer is coming into this game with everybody nationally going, oh, can he win this game? Kalen DeBoer is 40-9 as an FBS coach. He's 107-12 as a coach
overall.
He has coached 119 games, and he's lost 12 times.
12 times.
And we're all going into this, well, not all. A lot of the narrative going in is, can this guy win a game? Can he win a big game? he has done nothing but win in his career. It's very interesting, the narrative versus what it actually has been so far in his career.
It's funny because both things could be simultaneously true. He is in that stretch, as much as I love my football program, never faced an animal quite like he's going to face on Saturday, because I think Georgia is as good as it gets in the entire sport, outside of when he played Michigan in the national championship last year. That can be true, but it's also true that he maybe has never had more talent going into a game than what he has on this Alabama roster.
He did beat Sark last year in the playoffs.
He did beat Sark last year. That's absolutely fair. His numbers as an underdog, as a head coach, and I don't know how far back this goes, because I don't know if some of the games he coached at his last college had point spreads. So I think mostly this is just at Washington. He's been an underdog 10 times. He's covered the spread 8 times, and he's won outright 7 times. So that's a hell of a number. Yeah. But you go the other way, and Kirby Smart has been favored by a field goal or less 9 times, and his team has covered and won 7 of the 9.
He's also 1-5 against Alabama.
Yes, and that was the Nick Saban receiver, Alabama, not the kid. That's why it's so fun. And the excitement for me here is that the reaction either way on Kalen DeBoer is going to be fun to watch. If he wins this game, build a statue, he's the next Nick Saban. If he loses this game, especially say they lose by 14, people's hair will be on fire there. And it'll be hilarious to watch Alabama fans freak out. Did we lose our edge over Georgia? Mm-hmm. You know that's coming on Monday.
Yeah.
But I would argue, just from a football standpoint, there is far more pressure on Georgia to win this game than there is on Alabama, for one key reason.
Oh, I'd love to hear this, because I don't think I think you're hitting on something that's interesting to me, because when I've been following this game all week, reading and watching interviews, it feels the opposite of that. It's like, can Kalen DeBoer win a big game?
It's all about Kalen DeBoer. Yeah, it's all about the Kalen DeBoer argument. I'm just looking at it for the rest of the year for what it means for their football teams. Alabama's schedule is exponentially easier the rest of the way than Georgia's.
Based on what we've seen so far?
Based on what we've seen so far. So they have to go to Tennessee, this is Alabama, to LSU, LSU hadn't looked that good early in the season, and to Oklahoma. Oklahoma's been awful, and they can't score points on anybody.
Those are still tough games.
I'm not saying all of them are easy, guaranteed wins. Tennessee is going to be a very tough road game. You know what Georgia has to do after this? They got to go to Texas in a couple of weeks. They have to go to Ole Miss. They have to, by the way, play Tennessee at home. So that's three games against teams that are currently ranked inside the top five.
Yeah.
That if you lose this game, I mean, Georgia's in as a two-loss team, so they can let another one slip.
So is Alabama.
And so is Alabama. But I just look at the rest of the way, and their schedule is far more challenging and daunting than maybe at the start of the year you thought, hey, LSU could be great, Oklahoma could be great. Neither of them have blown our pants off. Why, as we look at, you know, Texas might be the best team in the country, Ole Miss has been dominant early, and they both have to play Tennessee. So Georgia's schedule is much more challenging.
I got a couple follow-up things that I want to get to from this game, and so we'll get to Dan Lanning at the top of the hour. The Ducks going on the road to Pasadena. Conference realignment talk is just never stopping. We got ADs talking now from, you know, other institutions, and just being out and open about, hey, we want more money. So we'll get to that coming up. We'll Sprague the Line. Let's get the Sprague the Line sponsors in. A couple more things from this Georgia-Alabama game that I want to get to coming up next on 1080 The Fan. What is it like to win on the road? Dan Lanning with an interesting answer on that. We'll get to that coming up at the top of the hour. It is a Football Friday. We may have a basketball segment, kind of, maybe. I don't know if we'll do a segment on it. I found it really interesting. Zach Lowe got fired yesterday.
He did.
Fascinating to sign a $2+ billion media rights deal for basketball, be a month out of the season, and fire your biggest writer and podcaster in your company. A fascinating
made
move.
No
right
sense.
After your number one news guy left.
Yeah, made me as a local media guy go, well, I mean, if that guy gets fired,
anybody could get
when's
fired.
When's my clock done ticking? We'll get to that at some point. Sprague and Line, so the Sprague and Line sponsors are always welcome at the Vancouver Ford text line, 503-864-6326. They shoot you right before, during, and after the sale. Visit them at vancouverford.com. you with an interesting angle of this is a massive game for Georgia. I still think those three games, I know Oklahoma has no offense, but Venables is just a wrecking ball on defense.
Mm-hmm.
You said Tennessee, right?
They got Tennessee and LSU. Well, they both play Tennessee, and then the other games for Bama are on the road at LSU and on the road at Oklahoma.
And I don't think LSU is very good, but Brian Kelly is a good coach, and so teams get up in college all the time.
Very true.
Those schedules are tough for both of them. I think that's an interesting angle. I said this in the offseason, and I really do believe it. We'll see what happens this weekend. I don't know where I'm at yet on that pick. I think when you look at the DeBoer resume, I think when we talk about Dan Lanning, we're talking about him as if he has the resume of Kalen DeBoer, but Kalen DeBoer gets questioned because he doesn't talk and he's not out in front of it the way Dan Lanning is.
Mm.
And I've been feeling that way for over a year, and so it's funny to watch narratives like, I don't know if this guy can win the big... He just beat Texas. 2 years ago.
Well, that's a Pac-12. That's all about just him being a Pac-12 coach. If he would have done that with an SEC team last year, nobody would be asking that question.
That's a fair point by you, yes. But I think at some point, you got to stop caring about the conference. If you beat Texas in a playoff and
he's
you get
to
the national championship.
Yeah. He's won a lot of big games.
He's beaten Lanning three times. This dude's resume screams, why are we questioning this?
Yeah.
And yet, we're going into the game. It's a massive game, I think, for the reputation of Kalen DeBoer. You know, callers in Alabama and on the Paul Feinbaum show have quite the reputation.
They do.
Let's start with one Alabama fan that wants you to know the difference between Bama and Georgia in the secondary.
All right, Paul. This is for Brad. You're talking about Carson Beck coming in, throwing four touchdowns. Are you talking about that same Carson Beck that threw for 160 yards and no touchdowns against an awful UK team? I mean, that is a ridiculous thing to say, Brad. I'm just very disappointed in him. And he's talking about Bama, our secondary. I mean, Malachi Moore, that's an All-American right there. And last time I checked, our cornerbacks aren't in jail cells right now. So I just wanted to get your opinion on Alabama being the underdog tomorrow. And last time I checked, our cornerbacks aren't in jail cells right now.
You're damn right they're not in jail. Well, neither are Georgia's because they don't actually punish their kids. But, you know, I digress.
Still a funny line.
It is funny that you play the audio of that caller because when I look at this game and this matchup, it comes down to one thing in my mind and one thing only.
What?
How does Alabama's defense play? And are they still elite on that side of the ball? And I know that might be laughable to some, but that was Nick Saban's calling card. That's what made them so elite. And they lost some of their best players, including their very best player on that side of the ball, who is now in the secondary at Ohio State.
Yeah.
And so they plug in five stars to replace five stars. I grant you that. But just when you look at the defensive numbers early, very early in the season, Georgia has played a premier opponent. Alabama has not. They got to play Wisconsin without their starting quarterback. And so that game was over essentially four snaps into the game when Van Dyke went down, and they were going to win it either way. But Georgia's defensive numbers 3 weeks into the season blow Alabama's out of the water.
They haven't allowed a touchdown.
They haven't allowed a touchdown yet. No. They're barely giving up 200 total yards, and that is including a game against Clemson, who I know we love making fun of Dabo. Go look at what that offense has done since they played Georgia. They're scoring 50 on everybody. So that, to me, is the biggest question in this game is, can Alabama's defense hold up the way that they have in years past against Georgia when Nick Saban was their head coach? I have no question about Milroe running the ball and their weapons, and they got a 17-year-old phenom freak who's scoring touchdowns on everybody. Alabama's offense is going to be awesome, and they'll move it. Can their defense match it?
We'll see. I think that's an underrated part, too, is Georgia's defense is effing awesome. Yep. Ask Clemson. You're all the way. I liked Milroe going into the year because I saw what DeBoer was doing for Penix. I don't know how confident I am in saying Alabama's offense is going to move the ball on that Georgia defense.
I mean, they're going to take 50 on them, but they're not going to get shut out. I'll say that.
Well, okay, but we'll have to wait and see on that because that Georgia defense might be what wins them the title this year. They are really nasty. On the opposite side, I hear your point. I've also watched Georgia play. I'm not particularly impressed with their offense.
Yeah, they don't have a lot of great skill players.
I don't think Carson Beck's been all that awesome. And go read message boards. They hate their offensive coordinator.
They do. Yeah.
They hate that dude.
I mean, they could go undefeated.
Is it Mike Bobo? Do I have that right? I think it's Mike Bobo.
They could win a national championship and still hate their offensive coordinator.
No, I very well.
I think they
hated
Todd Monken, and then he wanted. Yeah, Mike Bobo is their OC.
Mike Bobo. Go read what they think about Bobo. They have not enjoyed the offensive experience of one Mike Bobo. So I hear you. I want to see what Bama's defense does, too. Both sides. It's going to be a tilt. There was evidently a caller 2 days ago on that show that lives in Tuscaloosa that threatened Paul Feinbaum's life.
Whoa. That shows in, they get death threats.
I'll kill you, Paul.
Basically, yeah, I'm going to kill you, Paul.
Because he picked against their team. Why did he want to kill him?
And here was a caller from Tuscaloosa who did not enjoy that. This is a Bama fan upset at another Bama fan for threatening Paul Feinbaum's life.
I just want to let the people know, Jim does not represent Tuscaloosa. I'm not sure he's even from here. But if he is, he's a stain on our good name. He's a stain on this show. He's a stain on the Alabama fan base. I heard him wish you had a heart attack and wish death on you and death on you. And it frustrated me, Paul. And I just want people to know, you know, this Saturday, the Georgia Bulldogs come to town. And I don't care. I don't care if you're Republican, Democrat, black, white, atheist, Jew, Christian. It doesn't matter. I'll be drinking beer down at the brewery. I'd love nothing more to see everybody. I mean, we're welcoming people here. We're loving people here. And he's just, you know, Jim, if you're listening, you are not a prophet. You are not prophetic. You are, however, pathetic. And, you know, I wish nothing more than you'd come out of hiding so I could wish my boot right up your ass, Jim. So I could wish my boot right up your ass.
That is fantastic, dude. You want to know the differences between West Coast and East Coast football?
That. It's all that.
It just means more.
Call in, Duck fan. Give us your UCLA trash.
Well, you know, I hope we play really hard and we run the football effectively. Good luck to the Bruins.
That's the West Coast. They're out there wishing heart attacks on radio hosts.
How dare you, Paul Feinbaum? I'll take you down.
And then threaten boots.
I want to go to the brewery in Tuscaloosa and have a beer.
Doesn't matter if you're black, white, Asian, Christian, Jew,
atheist. Jewish, Christian.
We welcome y'all. Roll Tide, damn it. Roll damn Tide.
We're welcoming people.
We're loving people in Tuscaloosa.
Yeah. Some of you probably are.
I cannot wait for this game tomorrow.
Apparently there is, though, a line too far in Tuscaloosa. Nice to know that they have some standards.
You wish death on a radio host. I'm glad to know that that is kind of line. That makes me as a radio host feel better. The line is don't wish death on that
person.
Don't
call in and say, hey, I want you to die.
Pour them down there.
They took it too far, man.
Oh, man.
This game is going to be awesome.
We're going to have real, reasonable, rational phone calls on Monday.
Yes, either way. Somebody's freaking out. That's the best part about all this, is you know the freak out on either side of this will be phenomenal.
It'll be great.
Which is funny, because, like, how do you not have any perspective that the expanded playoff is going to
let one in? Both these teams are in. Both these teams are in the playoffs this year.
There's probably three other games that will have far more impact on somebody getting in, not getting in.
Kansas State, Oklahoma State is a far bigger impact on the college football playoff. Louisville, Notre Dame, far bigger impact. Washington State, Boise State, you can make an argument.
Yes.
Bigger playoff implications
and
in this game.
This game is getting the attention because for obvious reasons, Georgia's
it
at Alabama.
Just means more.
It just means more, absolutely. A loaded second hour of the program. We'll get to more of stuff like this.
So I could wish my boot right up your ass.
Yeah, that's what Bruin fans are saying to Duck fans.
Oh, bring it on, Bruins. They don't have any fans, so they can't say that. But if they did have fans, that's what they would be saying.
You can't get a flip-flop. Flip-flop doesn't work the same way.
No, flip-flop ain't fitting up this butt.
My thong sandal up your ass. We have a lot to get to in the second hour of the program. We kick it off. Dan Lanning on winning road games. The return from the bye week for Oregon will start their conference realignment, never ending. Loaded second hour of the program next. Dirt and Sprague on the Fan.